Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right, everybody. How is everybody doing today? I hope you're doing well and you're having a good car ride. And today I have a wonderful guest. It's my first team member guest.
Awesome.
From the front office, at least. And so I have Laura Hatch here with us, who is the office manager at her husband's practice, Tony Hatch's office. And they are in Scripps Rock.
Scripps Ranch.
Scripps Ranch, yep. Outside of San Diego. So from now on, we'll just say San Diego.
Yeah.
So Laura, how are you doing today?
Awesome. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
It's great. You know, I carry my little podcast kit around with me so that when I run into people at meetings and stuff, I like to do face-to-face because something about looking in somebody's eyes
right. And
having those conversations.
So I'm the first team member you've had on.
First front office team member.
Wow. I'm excited. I had no idea.
You're the first front office team member.
Cool.
I actually have interviewed one of my treatment coordinators, but I haven't posted it yet.
Okay.
But I don't know why I haven't, actually.
Right. And our paths have crossed for so long because I'm in the Sarah community with my husband, but we haven't talked about front office, so I'm excited.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we're here with Revenue Well this weekend and in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things I was really thinking about is, from a dentist perspective, the front office honestly doesn't get any love from me.
It's not just you.
When I say me, it's a dentist in general because out of sight, out of mind. Like I take care of my hygiene department because I go in their rooms and check, right?
Yep.
I take care of my assistants because, again, they're literally with me chair side, day to day, everything. But my front office people, I literally will see them in the morning for 15 minutes. I'll say hello maybe at lunch.
Yep.
And I may have a little interaction with them throughout the day.
Yeah.
So they get the least amount of love from the office. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Awesome. I'm glad you actually recognize that because I think that the front office is kind of a forgotten area. It's also not...
Well, people don't think of it as a production area.
Exactly, right?
But it is a production area.
It is. I think that your front office makes or breaks your practice.
It can make or break your practice.
When you pay attention to the front office is when they're not doing what you want them to be doing. When your schedule's falling apart or when
it's
there's
reactive.
A lot of... Exactly. It's
reactive
not
versus proactive.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So the front office team really does need the love. I mean, one of my focus is on front office and all the staff members up there because they're the ones who make your schedule great. They're the ones who make sure the patients arrive and they're the ones that make sure that your day runs well.
They collect the money.
Everything.
They are the customer service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are the pleasant, hopefully pleasant voice on the phone.
Exactly. And one of the things that I'm big on is making sure that your front office team is trained well because, like you said, hygienists go and get CE. They have to go get CE. Dental assistants go and there's
well, they
seminars.
Go to the dental CE at
exactly.
least, if nothing else.
Front office, we're not expected to do CE, and we don't put a lot of attention on our front office team to make sure that they're doing the best they can, that they're trained the best they can, and they have the best systems and things like Revenue Well that's going to help.
Systems,
exactly. Right?
All right. So before we dive into what you do and how you can help our audience listen, learn, talk to me about who is Laura Hatch and how did you get into this and why should our listeners know you?
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I didn't get into this because I was like a little girl that said, when I grow up, I want to be a dental office manager.
Right.
I met a guy in undergrad and I said, what do you want to be when you get older? And he said, a dentist or mechanic. I'm not too fond of the dentist. So I'm like, how about mechanic?
Right.
But my husband decided.
Dentist is a mechanic.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He likes the tools. He likes the. So he decided to go to dental school. So he graduated from dental school, University of Maryland in 99.
So UMBC.
Yep, exactly. Okay. First dental school in the world.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of their claims to fame. So
I think they're lying. I'm sure Egypt had a dental school.
But my background is human resources, management, sales, or organizational development, change management. And so my husband came to me in 2003 and said, I want to open a scratch practice. You run the front, I'll be in the back. It'll be amazing. So that's kind of how I fell into dentistry.
And that's in Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yep. We had a practice outside of Baltimore. But there's no place for us who don't have dental experience to go to school to learn how to be an office manager. I mean, I didn't
know. It's a hot seat training.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know surfaces, teeth. I knew customer service. I knew systems. I knew how to treat patients well. I learned the dental part of it. And that's a big thing for me because I know a lot of people who are thrown at the front desk. We can teach them the dental. We can't teach them customer service and good personality and smile. That's the kind of things that we need at the front desk.
Or little things like, I got a complaint the other day in my office that, hey, how come I don't know who I'm talking to on the phone? I'm like, how does somebody not say their name? Like little things that when you integrate a new person, I'm like, how do you not say your name on the phone?
Exactly.
Mean, like where in La La Land did you figure out that we stop saying our name to patients?
Well, and a small thing that's in my office I talk about all the time is smile.
Yeah.
Smile is just something naturally that most people do, but there are people who don't smile naturally. And when a patient walks in your area, how do they feel welcome? Even if you're on the phone, you're
a
doing something.
A smile is warm.
A smile, right? So it's a little thing. So
we're in the smile business.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I helped my husband grow our practice in Baltimore, and the intention was to live there forever. But we went to a training in San Diego, a hygiene training seminar, in the middle of the winter. And in Baltimore, it's snowy and cold and freezing. And in San Diego, it's 68 degrees and beautiful.
Year round.
So we moved to San Diego in 2007. Now, we didn't really do our homework. We kind of chased the weather. That was the thing, oh my God, we live here, right? We didn't realize Southern California has way more dentists than Maryland did.
Yeah, probably the entire city. Orange County has probably more dentists than the entire state of Maryland.
Yes, exactly. So competition's huge. It's now 2008, so the economy is starting
tanking.
To tank.
Yeah.
And now we're 20 minutes away from Mexico. So patients all the time say to us, I'm going to Mexico to get my dentistry done. When Maryland, we didn't hear that at all. But
it wasn't an easy trip to Mexico.
You didn't have a lot of people going to Mexico. Maybe Canada or something. Yeah. But we opened another scratch practice in San Diego. We were looking to buy. We couldn't find anything we wanted. And we just applied the same. We put our systems in. We put our customer service in. We put our marketing in. I got my team trained up. And we now have, we've started fee for service. We now have 4 doctors. We have 15 days of hygiene. We have I have a staff of 16. We're fee for service in Southern California. So I feel that training is necessary. And I know that so many dentists don't know what happens at the front desk. They don't teach this in dental school. They get out of dental school, you're a dentist, and then you have to run a business and you have no idea. So you walk up to the front office girls and you say, fill my schedule. Then you walk them back and you cross your fingers and hope they know how to do it.
Well, you said something to me that I want to correct a little bit. Okay. And it's a yeah, but it's an excuse that we as educators perpetuate. And you said, well, we're fee for service, so we have to train our front office up. And I would say that you're in business and you have to train.
Yes, completely.
I know that's what you meant. But too often what I hear from people, well, okay, she has to invest in the front office because they're fee for service.
Right.
Which is a total cop out BS answer. Right.
Yep.
So I just want to make sure that I think we as educators can do a better job saying that, instead of saying, hey, because we're fee for service, we need to be even better. Because we're in business.
Yes.
We need to be even better because we want our business to be great.
Well, I was going to say the reason you need to be better at the front desk is because your patients have other things they want to spend their money on. They don't like, they don't like coming to the dentist. They're paying us thousands of dollars. Then you're special, right? They pay us thousands of dollars to drill on their teeth, to put drills in.
For torture.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to
stick the isolate in the mouth. And my patient's like, so I'm paying. I literally have patients say, so I'm paying you to do this to me?
Yep.
And you're smiling?
I just had to have a retreat done on my tooth, one of my teeth, third time on the same tooth. And I'm laying there going.
There's a thing called an implant.
I think I'm going there next. So hopefully not. Hopefully this is the one. But I'm laying there, and I'm a person who teaches how to teach your staff to sell dentistry.
And it's 2 hours in the chair with the rubber dam on.
And I'm laying there going, this sucks.
Oh my God, how long before this shit is over?
Exactly. So what I think is important is that they don't remember the dentistry. The patients, they don't go out and talk about how great you're. Oh, look at this. They really matched my crown really well. Oh, look at the margin on this. They go out and they talk about your team. They go out and talk about your staff, like their best customer service. So they're very high tech, or that's the thing that you need to focus on, because there's a ton of competition out there. The guy down the street's going to do it cheaper.
But we all have the same technology now. We're all digital practice. Yeah. We're all photography.
If you're not, you should be.
We're all Xeric. We're all Conebeam. At least the ones listening to this podcast are, correct?
Yeah, right.
Because the ones that, at the end of the day, we always talk about the people that we should be talking to, but they never show up for us to talk to them.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So let me go here with this, okay? I want you to dive into my practice.
Okay.
And you don't even know my practice, okay? We're an insurance-based practice. We're PPO for 5, 6, 7 networks. I would say that 50 to 60% of our patients have PPO insurance.
Yeah.
We have a good team. We do great clinical dentistry. We treat our patients, generally speaking, very nicely. But I'm not happy with my front office team.
Okay.
Not because they're not good people. I just feel that we could do better. We could take that one phone call and convert them and get a better relationship with them. Where does somebody start that's doing well enough?
Okay. So that's kind of the hole I was trying to fill when I started Front Office Rock. So that's the business I have.
So you have a business that does online, for our listeners, you have online training for dedicated front office people.
Because like I said in the beginning, that we don't put a lot of love on our front office team. So somebody comes in and they're brand new in your office and they're a go-getter and they're excited and they love, coming to the office and seeing the patients. Well, over time, you get beat up by insurance. You get beat up by that patient that's not nice. You get beat up by the doctor getting upset about. So we need to be refreshed. We need to be remotivated. We need to remember what that energy we had when we started. And so Front Office Rocks, the idea behind it is that you can continue to train your team and then continually train them. Keep that customer service in. Keep the, if you have an issue with all of a sudden a lot of people are canceling, well, let's go in and do some videos about how do we get our patients to show up? Or we have issues with, making the schedule productive. All right, let's go back to the training and say what systems have fallen out. Where can we go back to what we know, which is how to schedule productively and everything that we do.
Where's the starting point?
For the training or for?
Yeah, for the training. Where does somebody start?
Well, for me, and you're gonna love this. Mm-hmm. I think the most important piece of technology in the dental office, what would you say?
For me, it's the camera.
Okay. I would say it's a telephone.
Clinically, it's a camera.
Yeah.
But see, there's our biases, correct?
Right.
Your bias is front.
Yeah.
My bias is clinical.
I thought you were going to say Sarah.
No.
I thought for sure you were going to go Sarah.
When anybody asks me what's the most important investment I've ever made in my practice, I always say it's my digital camera.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree with that
100%. And on top of that, it's the cheapest investment I've ever made in my camera, my office,
Well, so for me, it's the telephone. I think the most important piece of technology in the dental office is the telephone, because if that phone's not ringing, there's nobody coming into your office for you to take pictures with and do a crown on or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to do a sidebar in this telephone business. I got suckered into doing voice over IP, and it was a disaster for our practice.
I've heard that.
And you don't have a fast enough internet. I'm like, I got 200 down by 50 up. I mean, how much faster can you possibly get? And it was constantly an issue. And so we finally went back to analog landlines. Mm-hmm. And it cost me a lot of money to go back and forth. And it was
cost you a lot of patients, too, I'm sure, potential new patients during that time.
Yes. I mean, it's disgusting, actually.
Yeah.
So I would say, just on a sidebar, do not get sucked into fancy phone systems. Your phone system is the lifeblood of your communication to your practice.
Yep.
Okay. You've got to be able to answer calls. You got to be able to call people.
Yep.
Okay. So there's
I'm going to add to that then.
Go for it.
Make sure your phones are being answered by people 5 days a week, 8 to 5 minimum. Because people, when they call our offices, they're expecting to talk to a human.
Yeah.
And I know there's fancy.
And if they're taking time to call, because, at this point, that's a hot lead.
Yeah, I want to talk to them. And I know there's fancy systems out there. Push 1 if you want to talk to, get a schedule.
No.
Push 2. I want to talk
to those
things. Exactly. And I called into an office recently because I call into different offices around the country, and I got put on hold. I got put on hold for 4 minutes by this employee, and I listened to their recording. They had a fancy recording. And it played over and over. And by the time they picked up, I was like, I don't really care that you have a Sarah. I don't care you do implants because I was so tired of it because people don't want to be on hold.
Now, who's got time to be on hold?
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm my big thing is your phone should be answered by a human by the third ring. That's what I teach in Front Office Rocks because that's just good customer service. When they get when they call in the office and it says, if we've missed your call, we must be helping another patient. All you're doing is telling that patient they're not important to you.
Right.
And you're setting up, that's the little things that we're setting up this idea with the patients that we're too busy or we don't have time for that. We don't want that. We want everyone to feel, whether you're in network or not, whether you have great insurance or don't, we want every patient to feel like they're important to us because they can spend their money elsewhere. They can go somewhere else and get the dentistry done. There's no question. So we need to make sure everyone on our team understands everything we do is vital to making that practice grow.
Okay, so let's say the I would say that the one of the first questions I would ask myself is, are we answering the phone 5 days a week from 8 to 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if the answer is no to that, I either need more manpower,
mm-hmm.
okay, or we need team people that need to understand the priority of mm-hmm. answering the phone.
So that's where you said where to start. I started Front Office Rocks because that is my number one thing is phones. You're, not only should they be answered, they should be answered with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
They should be answered by the third ring. And that person should feel that that call to you is important.
Why do you train on this? I mean, this is like logical.
Because have you sat at the front desk before?
No, I try to avoid that place.
Okay, you go back to literally the front desk. It's you're sitting there. It's quiet. You make that call to the insurance company. You finally get through to the human on the other end of the phone with the insurance company. And all at the same time,
oh,
the doctor walks in.
Yeah.
The hygienist wants to check a patient out. And then that other line rings.
Yeah.
Now you got six people looking at you. You're on the phone with insurance and you answer the phone. Doctor's office, please hold. Right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is we get so busy that we forget that the phone is our lifeline to the outside. And so what I teach with Front Office Rocks is every time you answer the phone, you take a deep breath, and you smile because people can feel that, right?
Just like I teach my son before he hits a golf ball, take a breath.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what it does is you can tell I talk fast. What it does for me is it slows me down. And it lets that person know, whether they're a new patient or a current patient, that that call is important to me.
Okay, so we've talked about phone. Now, what else is there that I need to evaluate my front office on?
Well, so what I would say, the reason I have Front Office Rocks, I have it set up by position. So I would say whatever your pain is at the moment, that's where you focus. So let's say your schedule's not as productive as you want. Great, so let's do some training on scheduling. We do productive scheduling, how to put together a productive schedule, how to offer appointments to patients.
So talk to us, Mark, how do you define productive scheduling?
Well, it depends on you should be hitting your daily goal every single day. And it, you know how some days it's like, it's a $10,000 day and the next day is $1,000 and the next day it's $8. A productive schedule should be hitting your goal, whatever your office goal is, on a regular basis.
80% of the time.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be, we know with the schedule, right?
Yeah,
the schedule, it's going to fall out or whatever, but you should have systems in place to go, okay, this patient just canceled. What are we going to do to fill that hole? And your team should know how to do that. And there's a certain way to do it. Where are you going to go first? I'm going to go someone later today, move them up. I'm going to go call tomorrow's patients, move them up. Then I'm going to call. But a lot of this isn't trained. Like they just, you come up and you say, fill my schedule. And the front office team's going,
well, they literally fill the schedule, which is horrible.
Right. Which doesn't make it productive or you're running around. This is where I think the issue between front office teams and back office starts with the schedule because we put in somebody and now the assistants are in the back going, I can't believe they stuck somebody else in the schedule. And the hygienists are like, when is the doctor going to come do my exam? Because the schedule.
That's crazy.
Right. So we need to know how to schedule effectively. And I don't think dentists know that. And there's no training for that. And we put somebody in the front desk and they're doing the best that they can, which is where the training needs to be put into that front desk. So maybe your issue is scheduling. Maybe your issue isn't scheduling. Maybe it's you want a stronger hygiene department. Okay. So then do some videos on the importance of hygiene. Pre-booking your patients, talking to patients about perio, talking to them about case acceptance, like whatever you're looking at that you need help with, that's where you would start. Maybe you have a brand new employee, then train them through all the videos on answering phones. Do not let your brand new employee answer your phones until they're trained because that brand new employee has no idea how to handle those calls. And you just spent money marketing to the patients to call. And now you put a brand new employee on to try them out. You just wasted all your marketing money because this brand new employee doesn't know how to answer these calls. So it kind of just depends on what your pain point is, is where you need to start.
Okay. So now, I'm in my head trying to figure out all these little things. So we've got phone skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have scheduling skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you talk about recall skills, mm-hmm. right? The hygiene skills, mm-hmm. correct? Now I want to say, okay, great. Let's just pretend, you know what? I'm doing all that.
Right.
My team is there.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I want more from my front office team? I want them to be better in tune to my business.
Okay.
Okay. So now I want them to know my numbers a little better. I want them to report on numbers. Yep. I want them to lead my morning meeting with, yep. I say, you know, I want to know where we at for the month.
Right.
Where are we up or where are we down?
Yep.
When's my next hygiene opening? When's my next rock opening?
Yep.
So those are the things I want them to report. So are you training on more effective morning huddles?
Yes. I have two videos on huddles. I have how to track your goals on a daily basis, what information you should be sharing with the team. Because if I walk into an office and I ask the hygienist, how are you guys doing against your goal? And they have no idea.
They have no idea.
They should.
And I suffer from that in my practice.
They should, though. You know, your team... If you guys are all playing the same game, but they don't know how they're doing.
You got to know the score.
They got to know their score, right? Yeah. So every day your team should know, how are we doing against our goals? How many new patients have we seen? How much have we collected? How much have we produced? So so the videos are set up according to position. So
are you like consulting in a box?
I'm consulting online in a box.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but ultimately.
Yeah. And the idea is so that I don't come in office. One of the things that I think is that when you bring a consultant in, I think consultants are amazing. But for the staff, they feel that someone's over my shoulder and they're going to tell me I'm doing my job wrong. And I know how to do my job. I've been doing this for 15 years. Don't tell me how to do my job. With my videos, they're non-intrusive. So they can sit down and watch the videos. I'm not sitting over their shoulder.
Well, they can do it at home. They can do it in the bathroom. Yep. They can do it at the office. Yep. They can do it in the car. They can do it
exactly.
in the plane.
And I'm not telling them that they're wrong. I'm saying, hey, here's some other things that you could consider. Have you considered offering appointments a certain way? Or have you considered asking for payment? Like if you have an issue with an employee, let's say that's just not good at getting patients to pay, we'll put them on some videos of what's the importance of why the patient should pay and how you offer, you know, you talk about it, because not everybody's good at all the things we do at the front desk.
Okay, so do you have I'm asking, again, keep asking selfish questions. So
you'll be a client at the end of this, right?
Yeah, of course. But ultimately, I want to say is, all right, so I want to onboard a non-experienced dental person.
Yes.
Off the street person.
Yes.
Can I just say, all right, go to this website and follow along.
Yeah, that was my original target with Front Office Rocks, because I feel that dentists feel that they have to hire somebody with dental experience in the front desk.
I think sometimes it's a bad idea. They come with preconceived bad habits.
And you're also overpaying, because you're paying for the 2 years of Dentrix experience or 4 years of Eaglesoft experience. And so they come at a higher price. And I'm not saying people with dental experience aren't always great, but I can go get a great hostess who mm-hmm. has given me great service.
Or a waitress that can juggle 18 things at once.
And they don't want to work nights and weekends anymore. At a dental office, they can work 8 to 5, 8 to 6, whatever.
5 days a week,
exactly.
No weekends.
And so you can teach them. I didn't know dental. I remember first seeing the dental codes thinking I needed to know all of them. I didn't know teeth had surfaces. I didn't know they had numbers. I still can't read an x-ray, right? But I know customer service, and every one of my employees at the front desk never had dental experience. We taught them that, but they know how to multitask. They know how to, they're good decision makers. They're great with customer service. I didn't have to teach that to them. I just had to teach them Eaglesoft. I had to teach them teeth. You know, I had to teach them dental codes, and we can do that. But we never had a resource before now. Like when I got into it, I had to go to the you know, Maryland dental meeting, and I had to go watch Linda Miles teach me how to answer the phone. I had to read dental economics and the articles. You know,
there's a lot of fear in me doing that sometimes, because sometimes you send people to meetings and they learn things that you don't want to do.
Exactly.
And so here's my saying, okay? My saying is, we're practicing dentistry in 2016 using business principles from 1980s.
Yep.
Right? And too many of our speakers are living in the 1980s still, and they're teaching that. Like,
and that's why I respect you, because you're doing what you're doing, and I seeing you speak at CEREC, but you're still in the dental office.
I have to be.
And yeah, exactly, right? this isn't making it for you.
No, I mean, the free podcast isn't making it for me.
But that's the thing, is I'm still in the dental office. So I know, for example, I just put out a thing about this flossing. The next day, people are coming in going, oh, so I don't have to floss anymore. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So
I have to ask my hygienist if we've heard that.
I haven't
heard anybody. I don't think our patients read.
Yeah, there you go, right? Exactly. Yeah. Well, and my husband's like, well, if you're not going to floss, it's going to keep us in business.
Yeah, I tell him, don't floss. It's up to you. Just floss the ones you want to keep.
But because you're still in the office and I'm still in the office, I think that's important, because there are a lot of people who out there who are speaking, but they're not in it every day anymore. They're not sitting at the front desk going, how am I going to teach this to my clients, the people who are following me? Because I just had this happened to me. Okay, great. Let's make a video about it so I can help other offices know how to do that better.
Okay. So, all right. So now we've talked about phone skills.
Yeah.
Scheduling skills.
Yeah.
Hygiene recall skills. Morning huddle business skills.
Yeah.
And let's do one more. So what is another
case
skill?
Case acceptance.
Case acceptance.
Treatment.
So what role does front office play in
huge
in case acceptance?
Yeah, huge. Because honestly, with the doctor of
do you guys have a dedicated person to case acceptance in your practice?
No, we call them closers when they go in to do that. We have four people trained on it.
Okay, so we have treatment coordinators.
Okay, yeah, that's why. But yeah, when the doctor's like, I need a closer.
I like the closer too.
Yeah, I need a closer.
Yeah.
We're huge because if the doctor comes in, typically in a lot of dental offices, the doctor comes in, tells the patient what they need, and the patient shakes their head and goes, yeah, doc, I want to do that. That sounds great. And then they leave.
Oh, that's because they don't know how much it costs, what it's going to take. They don't know anything.
So now we give them this treatment plan, and we're going over the – would you ever buy anything without knowing the price?
I don't know, right?
Now they're not actually sold until they see the price. And that's when – what happens right now is – we show them, here's what your insurance is going to cover. They always assume insurance covers it all, which it doesn't. Then we show them their out-of-pocket amount, and they either have to think about it or they pick off of a list. They go, oh, well, the crown's covered, so I'll do the crown.
That's why I don't show them the list.
Right. Well, what do you do? How do you do
it? We have a financial worksheet that we just write at the top what we're doing on that.
Okay.
And then so it doesn't have individual prices.
Right.
And then we just give them the entire treatment plan.
That's it.
Our worksheet, it's an Excel PDF. You plug in the number, say $2,000, and it populates all the fields of how they can pay.
Right.
Based on the dollar amount.
Okay. That's great. So, yeah. And that's the kind of things. There's a lot of people who've never been trained in selling.
So I should do a video for you guys.
Yeah. Exactly. I would love that.
So because ultimately I think these treatment plans are horrible ideas to give to patients.
Yeah.
And I think 90% of your patients don't care.
Well, do you know what the thing is patients, the only reality, the only thing they know is their pocketbook money and their insurance book.
Yep.
Right. And as long as those are all that they know and we're letting them choose, what are they going to choose? They're going to choose what the insurance covers and what's the cheapest.
And I think ultimately, and my team sometimes argues with me and other dentists argue with me is I want almost all my patients to choose payment plans, whether that's third party or we do in-office payment plans in the practice. Because what I find is those patients accept bigger treatment or they accept complete treatment.
Yes.
They don't say, okay, I want to do this filling on this side, this filling on this side. And then I'll come back to do the crown because I'm like, well, the crown's next to that filling. I'm going to numb that area up. I just want to knock them all out.
Right.
Right. So now I don't give my patient that choice in a sense.
We're actually just going through that in our office. And I just did a couple of videos about this the other day. I film at night after work when I get ideas. Right. So we are starting to bring specialists in. So our treatment plans are getting larger.
Right.
And my team has been doing, this is what it costs. Here's our payment options. How do you want to take care of it? Well, some people are like, I can't do that, right? So now we have to change our discussion because we want them to accept the full $10,000 treatment plan. And they're not going to just come out with a credit card and go, here you go. Yeah. I have $10,000. I mean, I wouldn't do that, right? So we need to change the way we're talking to patients because our treatment plans are getting larger and we need them to accept the entire treatment plan. We can't just do it piecemeal. We have to, if you're going to see the periodontist or the endodontist and the root canal and the crown, we need to close the entire treatment plan.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the things, I mean, I've known you for years. My husband's a CEREC doctor. We love CEREC. But the issue I feel that the CEREC sits in the back in some offices and isn't being used is not because the technology isn't amazing. It's because your front office systems aren't in place to get the patients to show up and get the crowns and the onlays done. And so that's my mission is to make sure we're doing everything we can in the front to get the patients in the chair so that you can be using the great technology that's out there.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot.
All right. I'm ready.
I don't think you're ready.
Uh-oh.
You might not. You're fine. So I want you to walk me through, because I struggle with this as a business owner, as a dentist leader.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through a day in the life of a front office rock star. What is it that my team, my front office team members should be doing on a day-to-day basis? I don't need the one-offs. Okay,
yeah.
I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis. This is what I need to make sure I get accomplished today.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
I don't think we have enough time for that.
Okay, let's start, right?
Well, so I think that the difference between, let's just do this. We spend too much time on insurance. We spend too much focus on insurance. We spend too many hours on the phone with insurance.
I think those should be compartmentalized. I think you should schedule out a half day once a week or.
Well, that's not possible.
Why?
Because there's patients call in. Do you accept my insurance? How much is going to be covered? Or you have a treatment plan for somebody
and
you
need to follow up with insurance calls and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a schedule that you should have. So you go Thursday afternoons are a great time to do that. It's a little bit slower or whatever. Right. But the biggest thing for me is that we need to remember our patients are first. So your front office team, to be rock stars, they need to come in understanding that that patient, no matter what their insurance is, no matter what their, that patient is priority always. And we get
so live human being in front of you.
Exactly.
More important than the phone, more important than anything else.
The human being in front of you and that phone.
Okay.
More important than the insurance. One of my biggest pet peeves is that we say our patients are insurance driven. Like our patients
are. No, we're insurance driven.
What's the number two or three question that we ask on the phone? What's your insurance?
We're totally insurance
driven. And doctors are just as guilty because doctors go, we have a new patient today. Great. What's their insurance?
Yeah, or sometimes.
Does that matter?
Sometimes, as you know, I'm guilty of this. I'll be talking to a patient about treatment and I can see in their eyes, they're like, oh my God, it's overwhelming. And I'll say, well, you have dental benefits, right?
Yeah. Right.
I see in their face that like, well, no, I don't. I'm like, well, I just screwed that one up. Right?
Yeah. Right. Well, and I think it's when you're looking in, doing the exam, a lot of times that's playing in your head. How much insurance do they have left? What is their insurance? That's the kind of thing. So if doctors can get more confident and teams to like, let's put insurance aside. Let's focus on the patients. Because if the patients feel that they're a priority and that you're taking care of them and they're not just the number, and your team does that from the first phone call, from when the patient walks in the door, from helping them get scheduled to helping them get their payment options figured out, a patient's going to accept more treatment. They're going to do more in your office versus, well, what's your insurance cover?
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. Obviously, I don't disagree. So let's go back to my front office person. What does a day in the life of a front office rock star look like?
Well, so I would say that the attitude is first. When you walk in the door, I don't care if you had drama at home. I don't care
if you had drama at home.
If you had drama, right? When you have drama at home. So it always starts with the right attitude. And it's not just the front office team. It's everybody. But the right attitude, including the doctor, needs to walk in. I mean, we're on stage when we walk into the office. Everything gets left outside.
As soon as you leave
personal.
That break room, we're on show.
Yeah, exactly. Then it goes to an efficient huddle. I mean, to be prepared for the huddle and to know what's going on
with
the patients.
So what does the front office person need to bring to the huddle?
They need to know, of course, details about the patient. They need to know things about them, like do they have a balance? Have they referred to us or not? If they're a new patient, where'd they come from? Tell us a little bit about them. They need to get us out of the clinical, because a lot of huddles is, what are we doing today in this treatment?
Well, I can read the schedule and figure that out. It's
exactly.
Easy.
We need to talk about the patients. And so the front office team needs to come prepared to talk about, hey, this patient, their spouse doesn't come to us. So we need to ask them to refer their spouse. Or this patient did refer to us last week. We need to make sure we thank them. Or they just came back from vacation. So to make that interpersonal connection, because, you know, the doctor, they love it if the staff goes, here, doctor, you need to know this, right? Or the rest of the team. So the huddle is the next thing. Then from there, I think it's...
Let me go back to the huddle real quick.
Yeah.
I think there's one other thing that the front office needs to know. What is a good time for emergencies today?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a scheduling thing.
Right.
I also think it's important to talk about where are we going to get bunched up? Where are we going to have potential issues? Because if we all know, hey, between 2 and 3 today, it's going to be crazy. So if anybody has an extra moment to jump in and help, that would be great. Much better than waiting until 3 o'clock and you've got people slamming instruments around in sterilization because they're mad because it was so crazy. So looking ahead to be prepared. And we've got an opening. How are we going to fill it? Who has ideas, right? Because maybe you have an hour in the afternoon and the doctor's scheduled. Great. Well, you got hygiene patients coming in. Maybe this patient had talked about whitening in the past. We can get them to stay and do whitening.
You're ADD like me. Okay.
I know, right? Exactly.
So, all right.
I have a video on this specifically.
I know. I get it. But okay. So now my front office rock star starts with the great attitude.
Yep.
They bring it for the morning huddle.
Yep.
Then what are they doing at 8 o'clock?
The first thing is getting the patients in, getting them. I mean, watching that schedule like a hawk to make sure that your patients are arriving, they're being greeted the way they're supposed to, that you're timing your day so that you are doing the paperwork, the insurance calls, the confirmation calls, if you're not using like an appointment reminder service or something, around the times where you don't have a patient in front of you. When the patient's there in the reception area, that's the focus should be on the patient, not on the little tasks that we do. So always making sure that that patient comes first.
Are they being seen on time? Is the clinical team ready?
Well,
keeping them up to date on where they're at in the process.
Yeah, and not ignoring them. The patient's sitting there and, you know,
If they sit there for more than 6 minutes, you better say, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Hey, let me go check to see what's going on.
Because the thing is people don't like to wait.
No, I hate waiting.
Right? And so at least if you're talking to them, I would rather have my team, my front office rock stars, talking to the patient about their kids and their car or their last vacation, because it's going to make that wait time seem so much less because you're interacting with them. Now, there's some patients who are like, you know, leave me alone. I want to stay on my phone. And that's fine, too. But check in with them.
But you can figure that out by looking at them.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's just eye contact.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes it's about not avoiding them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm doing my day-to-day stuff. Obviously, I need to make some insurance phone calls, follow-ups, some eligibility checks, things like that. What else?
So then I would say staying on the schedule. I mean, we do all of our consultations in the consult room. So our front office team, we wear headsets in our office. Have you done that?
Yeah, we have headsets.
Love it. As an office manager.
I would say my problem with the headsets, I only have one butt on the headsets. Nobody gets up off their butt anymore.
Because of the headsets?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we don't have that issue.
So we have the chatter going on, right?
We have a very strict policy about our headsets. What can be said, what can't be said, what you do. So like
we don't have conversations, but it's like, can you help me? Right. I'm like, well, get up and see what I'm doing.
Well, one of the things is, that's true. That's a good point. And also when you go, hey, can you help me? And there's dead air and nobody responds.
That means no.
Right. So somebody has, I got it. I'm on my way or I'm there or whatever. And then don't answer from the restroom. We've had somebody who's like, I'm in the restroom. We're like, we all didn't need to know that. Yeah, Thank you very much. So for us, it's getting to the patient whenever. So there's a consult. The doctor needs to go in, handle the patient, help the consult. So it's hard. Always putting the patient first. Our days at the front desk are, I would love for you to come sit at
it's
the front desk. It is insane, right?
I know it is.
And so I know when I go out and speak, you know, I hear people speak and they talk about, here's what you need to do. And like we were just talking about this, we're here with a lot of great people this weekend at Revenue Well. And they were talking about you should be rejecting treatment plans. And
like, okay, great.
Like,
yes,
getting
you're
real.
Right.
We know we should be, but there's, you know, you finish with one patient, you turn around, the next patient's standing right in front of you. So it's.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3d-dentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
whatever it is, and I do teach systems and processes, but always make sure the patient's first.
You know what would be better?
What?
If the softwares are smart enough that after 6 months, it auto-rejected everything.
Yeah. Wow. Very good idea.
You know, because so a treatment plan should only be good for so much time.
You're right.
I don't want it to delete it, but it should auto-reject it.
Exactly.
Because I want to come back to that.
Yes.
ADD can remind my ADD. Okay? So my people are doing insurance. How are they? Are your team members doing confirmation calls?
So my philosophy on confirmation calls is the purpose behind confirmation calls is to get the patient to show up.
Right.
So some people like my mom, for example, she puts in her calendar from 6 months from now. You don't have to call her. She's going to be there. Like she's one of those patients. But then there's patients where you have to email them, call them, text them, call them 20 minutes before the appointment, say, get in the car,
but
you need to get here. So,
but Laura, I don't want to use email and text. That's so impersonal.
Oh, yeah. Well, you personalize it for the patient. So some people, if you call my voicemail says, do not leave me a message. I will not check it. Text me.
I'd like to turn mine off.
Right? Don't leave me a message. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to call you back. And we all know there are patients who just want a text. They don't want a phone call. So some patients need calls. Some patients need text. So my philosophy around confirmation calls is you have to do whatever you need to do to get that patient to arrive. Because your purpose in a confirmation call isn't the call. Your purpose in doing a confirmation is getting the person to show up.
Right.
So some are email, some are text, some are all four. You know, text, email, call, and, you know, I don't know what the fourth would be. Go pick them up.
Right? Okay.
But we have to understand. And that's one of the things I teach so much. If the staff doesn't understand why they're doing what they're doing, then they're just doing tasks. But if they understand why it's important to...
So it's not the how, it's the why.
It's the why, right? Yeah. And the doctors, the way you started with, the doctors don't give the love to the front office team. The doctors typically are not great communicators. And the doctor has a goal, and we all do tasks. But if we don't fully understand what the goal is and the purpose behind what we're doing, it's just tasks. Making overdue recare calls. That's like one of the worst things we have to do because you just get voicemail.
So your team does that throughout the day too?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have like a quota? I hate using the word quota, but...
Well, no, what we do is we print out anybody that's overdue and they get a call once a month. They get an email from our office and they get a text from us once a month. So 3 times a month, they get some touch from us trying to get them to come back in.
At what point do you quit?
I don't.
18 months, 24 months?
And my husband and I have had this battle back and forth. I don't. And here's why. Nobody focuses on this part, the mouth part of their body, except for us, right? And we're the last place anybody wants to go. And so when
I would think my rectologist would be the last place I want to go.
Yeah, there's a good point, right? Well, one orifice or another, right? But the issue is we think when patients don't come back for 2 years that they must be going somewhere else. They're not going. They're just not going.
No, they just disappeared.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. So my husband and I had this battle back and forth where he's like, I think we should stop after 2 years or whatever. And I ended up winning this one. I don't win a lot of them, but I won this one because we had a new patient that came in. And we asked him, how did you find out about us? And he said, oh, my coworker said, you guys are a great dentist. You're his dentist. And he referred you or me to come here. We looked up the coworker.
And you haven't seen him in like
five years.
Yeah.
He hasn't been in 5 years, but he's talking about us like we're his. So if I wasn't reaching out to this guy regularly, he's getting postcards from other dental offices. He's getting, you know, other things coming to him.
You're not showing them the love. They think you don't care about them. You don't matter anymore.
Exactly.
So is there anything else? I want to transition to two things now, if I can remember them. Is there anything else your front office team is doing throughout the day? So they're bringing it from Morton Huddle. They're obviously taking care of the patient. They're answering the phones. They're doing recall calls. They're doing some insurance
calls.
They're doing some insurance follow-ups. So they're doing outstanding treatment calls.
Yep.
So what else are they doing? Anything else?
Awesome notes.
Okay.
Notes.
So every time they
do
with the patient,
anything
by phone or a human being.
Yep. And any conversations that they had, we when we do consults, we talk about everything that we talked about in the consultation because you may not be the next person to deal with that patient. And we deal with hundreds of patients. We're not going to remember this conversation. I don't remember it at the end of the hour, let alone the end of the day. So putting in great notes every single time you do anything with a patient because that's how you're going to give the patients great customer service, you know, so remembering them.
All right.
Yeah. One other thing I want to say, and I don't know if you've done this or even thought about it. I just recently, I guess it's been since January, so 6-7 months, outsourced our insurance. So we now use another company that enters all of our insurance checks for us, does all of the write-offs the way we're supposed to for the and does the outstanding insurance claims follow-ups
for us.
Who are you
using?
It's a company called eAssist. And they literally lock so that the checks come in, because I used to have somebody do this all day long, right? Checks come in, we scan them, and it goes into a file. They now remotely log in and enter all the checks for us, balance it. So I think it's a good checks and balance for embezzlement issues, sure. fraud, right? They give us at the end of the day, they send to the doctor, here's all of the claims that got entered. Here's what your balance is. And we balance it against the checks we have in the office. And then they call on all of our outstanding insurance calls.
You know, what do they take from you?
They take a percentage. I can't tell you off the top of my head what it is, but it's a percentage, of what they collect. So the reason I like that is because my employee who was doing this job before, she's spending 6, 7, 8 hours doing this. Whether we get paid or not, she still gets paid. Whether that claim gets paid or denied, she still got paid, right? Well, this company is motivated to make sure that you get paid and you get paid quickly and you get paid what you should get paid by the insurance company because that's how they get paid. So what it did is it gave me one of my employees back to do things that I need them to do, you know, outstanding treatment calls, consults, customer service, because they were focused on insurance all day long. And really somebody else can do that for you. So that's something you may want to consider because it was a huge change for me because it was very frustrating to have somebody sitting over here just doing insurance all day long when I needed them to be out there with my patients and on the phones with my patients and doing the other stuff that, you know, people, you can't outsource.
I don't disagree with you there.
Yeah.
But I believe in vertical integration.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, I like touching and feeling and seeing people.
Yeah.
So I think you should have champions in your practice.
Okay.
So I would say that at the end of the day, you should have a insurance person that's a champion who should get paid based on what they should get paid the same way.
Right. Right.
So everybody should have a base salary of something, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then their number really comes from how well that department does. And in his or her case, it would be all about the insurance checks.
I would rather, and I'm going to challenge you on that one.
Because now I can do an eligibility check on demand.
Yes. Well, and we still do our eligibility checks.
I would literally have.
I would love to find somebody who can do that for us because there's certain questions I want answered when I call and do eligibility.
I want it when the patient's in the chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like my patient's interest in the guard. Let's get the answer. Yes, what is your dental insurance cover? What is your medical insurance cover?
And there's ways out there to get some of the data, but not everything that you need. And I wish we could figure that out. So that part I haven't figured out. But on the back end, you're going to get paid what you're going to get paid by the insurance company. I mean, they pay a certain amount. This is their code. This is what they pay. So there's not a lot of incentive for me to incentivize an employee to try to get us paid quickly and what we're supposed to from the insurance company. What I'd rather incentivize the employee on is, have we hit our production and collections goals? Because we had great case acceptance this month. And that's something you can't outsource case acceptance. You can't outsource consults. You can't outsource.
I would disagree. You can outsource case acceptance.
Okay.
You can do electronic medium.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can use, but you still, the patient needs to have that one-on-one interaction. And your team's the best to do it.
Of course.
You know, that's what I want my team doing, everything that I feel that they need to be doing, and I can't give it to somebody else to do. Insurance, that can be handled by somebody else. I mean, I called Delta the other day, and the recording came on and said, you're going to be on hold for 42 minutes.
Well, at least they were honest with you.
I'm thinking,
I wish the airlines would be honest with me.
Yeah, exactly, right? But think about what my staff could do in that 40. Now, I train.
They can have a headset.
I train on what you can be doing, but that's 42 minutes that somebody's sitting there holding a phone line.
But you know what? You know, it's interesting. I have a dedicated medical biller in our office, okay? And I asked her one day, why do you come in at so early in the morning? She goes, because I can call the insurance companies and I will get them immediately. Mm-hmm. Because if I wait till 9 o'clock to do it,
right.
I'm waiting along with the other 1,000 practices that are calling.
But this is what I'm saying. We're playing the insurance game. And we need to change our focus and make sure that we're playing the customer service game. That's really, I mean, she's winning at it, right? I know everybody, if you go call MetLife, you push 5, I think you get a human. And if you call another one,
they change it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But we're playing this insurance game and we're always going to be playing it. That's just, it's the nature of the beast. But we need to understand why we're in the business we're in. It's not insurance, it's people. And yes, it's teeth, but if the people don't show up for the appointments, we're not going to be working on a lot of teeth. So my focus is making sure that my team's always focused on the patient.
All right. So
you had like 3 things you were going to remember. Have you remembered them?
I'll come back to that. So here's my message to everybody is we need to show our front office team the same love that we show our hygienists, that we show our assistants, that we show our treatment coordinators, that we show ourselves clinically, because our front office team at the end of the day can make or break your practice. They're part of it. They can certainly, how about this? They can break your practice.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think they can certainly make your practice totally. I think they can break your practice.
Yeah.
And so Laura, you provide.
I'm going to disagree. I think they can help make your practice
But I think it's easier for them to break it.
True.
So how about this?
Well, your focus comes when they start to break it.
Right.
That's when you pay attention.
So how about this? I can overcome some mistakes my front office makes by my relationship with patients. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I can't overcome my front office team not being part of the team and not getting things done. Mm-hmm. Okay, so so how do people get in touch with you, and how does your service work?
So it's a subscription-based website. Right now, there's over 180 videos on there. I add new videos anytime an idea comes up or somebody asks a question. It's $149 a month, and you sign up for the office, and you can train as many people as you want.
Is there a contract?
Anything you want. No contract, month to month.
So if I want to get one person trained on phone answering, and then I want to cancel, and I want to come back in.
Yep. Yeah, I have some offices have been with me for years and they do the training regularly. They do it around a huddle. The whole team watches it. Some use it to train new employees and then they cancel. And the next time, because there's a lot of turnover in dental, they sign back up and they do the training. So you can use it. The idea was to make it easy to use. It's online.
On demand.
On demand when you need it. There's a search function. So if you're looking for, I need help with hygiene, you search hygiene and everything having to do with hygiene, documents, videos, articles I've written are there. So you can pull out of it what you need to help you in your office. You don't have to send your team to a seminar. You don't have to bring a consultant in to help fix whatever the issue is. You can use the training right there in your office when
and
you need it.
What's the website address?
It's frontofficerocks.com.
R-O-C-K-S.
R-O-C-K-S.
Frontofficerocks.com.
Yep.
All right. So now I want to go into a different direction.
Okay.
Okay. So we're here at RevenueWell.
Yes.
So I think we should show them a little bit of love.
Right. Exactly.
I know that we've both been using RevenueWell from, you know, honestly, from the early days of them. So talk to me about how are you using RevenueWell?
I use.
And how are they different?
I use 100% of RevenueWell, which I talk about the importance of that when I'm talking about, you know, things we do on Front Office Rock. So I was with another company for years and I was in a contract, which is one of the things RevenueWell doesn't have a contract. And that was a huge thing for me because they've got to earn your business every month. You've got to be happy with it. But I wanted to switch to RevenueWell, but I had to get out of this contract. And I was worried that my reviews were going to be lost online because we had over 1,000 reviews from the other company that we were working with. But I didn't know this. You can pull your reviews from they're your reviews, pull them down and then put them back up when you switch to RevenueWell. So for me, that was the, okay, great. I'm ready to do it. I love RevenueWell because the one thing we don't have at the front desk is time. There's not enough time to get everything done. So RevenueWell has done not just appointment reminders, but they also do birthday emails. And you can do a newsletter like this and send out a newsletter to your patient. You can do, you know, so many different things that a lot of these services offer. But the number one thing RevenueWell has is it can read dental codes. So for me, that's huge because it sends post-op emails out to my patients after treatment. It has follow-up treatment plan emails. So we're reaching our patients, not just phone calls from my team. And if my team doesn't have time to get to the phone calls, at least they're getting an email from my office. So
your patients aren't answering the phone,
no,
by the way, during the day.
Oh my gosh, no. And we were just talking about this. I get more communication from patients now in the evening than ever before.
Yeah. I read my email at night or first thing in the morning.
Yep.
Yeah, then I do my best responding to emails
exactly
at night or first thing in the morning.
Because what are our patients doing between 8 and 5? They're working.
Hopefully they're working so they can pay my bills.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. So it helps me communicate to those patients we're not getting in through to.
So you touched on this treatment plan follow-up. Is that unique?
That is. Yeah. So RevenueWell was designed by a dental office manager for dental offices. So RevenueWell is focused on our industry. And that's the key thing with what they do, because they're always looking to help us do better in our offices. And one of the things is reading dental codes. I don't think any other company does this at this point. And what it does then is it can pull out of your software, this patient has treatment. You can do as much as send emails to say what the treatment is, or you can say, hey, we know you have outstanding treatment and we care about your dental health. Call us. We need to get you scheduled. But because it can read codes, it's another resource to reach out to patients to try to get them to come to get the appointments. It helps case acceptance.
Well, it also segments out your list.
Yes.
So if you want to do a CEREC promotion, there's no reason to send it to somebody that only needs Prophy's.
Yes.
Right. You need to send it to
people
who've been diagnosed with crowns or fillings even.
We're doing an Invisalign day coming up in September and we just did a newsletter to everybody that we've talked to about any sort of ortho to get them to try to come to the Invisalign day. We're hiring an endodontist. So now anybody that, you know, has been treatment planned for a root canal, so you can use it to help. And it's fast, super easy. You know, somebody because how long would it take me to call 50 patients?
Impossible.
Right? Versus sending one email to 50 patients.
And your team doesn't want to do it because they have this, like I'm bothering them. right. being a salesperson. So I'm like, okay, great, subliminally. So I look at Revenue Well from a couple of perspectives. One, I look at it as it's keeping me top of mind with my patients yep. automated.
Yep.
So even if my patient doesn't respond, they at least see my name. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it brings good memories to them, not bad right. memories, but they see my name. And the other thing is it's subliminal marketing. Mm-hmm. So for example, that patient, one of the things we do is like, so with Revenue Well, you can do drip campaigns, mm-hmm. autoresponders essentially. And if somebody needs a crown, you can send them an educational piece about right. crowns. What is a crown? How does a crown work? Then you can send them another educational piece. You know, what happens if you don't treat a tooth of the crown early enough?
Right.
It may turn into a root canal. And then you can send them the close,
right.
which is, hey, listen, we've shown you this, this, and this. It's probably time for you to get scheduled for that crown.
Right.
And so you can customize it to what works in your practice.
What you want to say. Yeah, that's yeah. what I like. My husband went in and kind of wrote what he wanted it to go out to the message to the patient. So it sounds like it is from us. You know,
and then
it's
can attach YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And I think not enough, and my practice is guilty of this as well. None of us take time to produce videos, right. personalized videos about our practice in our own voice,
right.
in our own face.
Yes.
So the patient sees that.
We did, and I think you haven't seen it yet, or I'll have to show it to you, but you can look at, you know, we did a happy birthday video. It took us 10 minutes. I got my whole team together. We wrapped some gifts. We had some balloons and we did a quick happy birthday from our, you know, smiles yeah. to yours. And it goes out in our birthday emails. We get so many comments from our patients about that. And my point for customer service in front office is for healthy patients, we see them twice a year, right? 2 hours a year. In between those 6 months, they're not thinking about us.
No.
They're not going, I wonder if it's going over, you know, going on a doctor.
Or we want them thinking so they can refer other patients.
Exactly. So every time we get a chance to, and it's not just always about dental. So they get a birthday email and it's a video and it's cute. And they're like, oh, look at this. And they're at work and they show it to their coworker. Look what my dentist said or sent. And then the coworker's like, hell, they look cool. Where do you go? I haven't been to the dentist in a long time. So the idea is to be front of mind, like you said, because those 6 months in between are a long time. And those patients are getting a lot of communication from other dentists in the area. And we want them to remember why they like us, why they come to us. And that's where it can help with that.
And you want them to know what else you do.
Exactly.
Like when we started doing sleep apnea therapy in our practice, you know, we started sending out Revenue Well campaigns on that.
Yep.
So, you know, it's great. So, you know, Revenue Well is a fantastic program. Mm-hmm. I think it was shocking to me to hear that the market penetration for patient communication products in general is not even 50%.
Right? I was shocked by that, too.
Yeah,
I was shocked by that, too. And for me, it's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people who are, I think they're afraid of technology. They want that personalized touch. My girls call from the front and they call to confirm or whatever. Well, first of all, they're not calling every patient to wish them happy birthday, right?
Right.
And they're not reaching most of the patients. I mean, for those of us at the front, we know when you're calling, you're getting voicemail, right?
Yeah.
So some people, you have to reach them via text or you have to reach them via email. And if you want patients to show up, you need to adapt your communication to match the patient, not to match necessarily what we've always done.
I also right? like how we use Revenue Well for social media.
Yeah.
So we can schedule a post. We can push our reviews to Facebook.
Yep.
We can push our reviews to Twitter. We can use their, they have these pre-made like campaigns that you can, like educational pieces
right.
that you can send out. You know, because I don't have the time to create a campaign on Sarah to put on Facebook.
Right.
So why not just use something they've created
for
me? Because something is better than nothing. Obviously, having a customized for me would be best, but
right.
Something is certainly better than nothing.
One of the things that we heard today, for those who haven't considered an appointment reminder service or something like this.
But Revenue Well is so much more than that.
Right. But to make that first, what I recommend is if you don't have anything, open your mind to having something.
Yes.
Then I recommend Revenue Well, and I can tell you all the reasons why. I mean, the reasons I change over Revenue Well. But it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, that nobody has appointment books anymore. I mean, remember the big books that we used to have at the front desk?
I never experienced that. But
okay. Those, nobody has it anymore, right? So it's time to evolve.
Index cards, you should keep track of the accounting.
Yeah, exactly. We had to evolve. Now, charts in the office. I'm paperless in my office. We don't have charts. And I know there's a ton of charts still here.
You know, we buy so much paper every month for being paperless office.
Yeah, I know, right? No, we're really not paperless, but it sounds good. But so it's the same. It's going in that direction. And your patients need, when we say personalized, it needs to be personalized for that patient. You know, and look at us. I mean, somebody was talking about right now I can tell you what my battery level is on my phone because we're connected to these phones. They're on our hip. We know where they are. We know what our...
But you sleep with them.
Yeah, exactly, right? Thank goodness, because we lost power this morning. It woke me up, right? So we need to understand what our patients... This is where we need to be customer focused. We need to understand what our patients want.
I call it being patient-centric.
Yes, completely.
Patient-centric is doing what the patient wants in a manner that makes sense for them. Giving them the opportunity to communicate with you. And I wrote a blog post recently called Being Open 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, allowing your patients to request appointments, allowing them to make pay bills online, to check their account online, to do all those things. Yep. And technology for a simple cost of $299 a month, $300 bucks a month, to have access to something like that is unbelievable.
I think a lot of the issues are people don't like change and implementation. A lot of like implementing a Thesaric was a big ordeal in our office, right? There's a lot
in
to
everybody's
implement.
Office.
Right. Implementation of RevenueWell was like, we turned it on and it was working. And
if nothing else, at a minimum, it just out of the box, it does your appointment confirmations.
Yep.
It does
your
recalls. Yep. At least out of the box, it does that.
Yep. Yeah. And it gives your team time because they don't have to call every patient. You know, somebody can say, I'm confirmed, I'm coming. Now your team doesn't have to call them. Now it's up to your office and the patient and how they want to do it. But in my office, if we know that patient's going to show up and they confirmed,
it's last on my list to call.
Right. True. Exactly.
You know,
right.
I may call just to say hello or something like that, but it's last on my list. The first one is the ones that haven't responded to everything else.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
Anything else? Any questions you got for me?
I don't think so. You're going to Cereal World. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be there an entire week.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I'm super excited. By the time this comes out, it'll be done. But
yeah,
I'm super excited.
Hopefully it'll be great.
I'm super excited about it. I'm not excited about being there that long. The good news is my wife and kids are coming down on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah.
So I'll at least get to see them at nighttime. I won't see them during the day. That's considered a vacation for me.
Well, so I'm excited about they're actually doing more than just Cereq for once.
Yes. Cereq World is not Cereq World.
Mm-mm.
It's Cereq. I mean, it is essentially it's a great dental meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you really think about it, I think it has a chance to take people away from going to the ADA, the Chicago Midwinter, and things like that, because the education is that good.
Yeah. Yeah. The speakers are amazing. So I'm looking forward to it and hopefully it's great and we, you know, go to more of them. So, but yeah, I think going to Florida in the middle of August is.
Yeah, but at least it'll keep me inside.
We don't go outside in those meetings anyway.
Just like you live in San Diego with 68 degrees year round, I live where it's 70 degrees year round.
Yeah.
It's called inside.
Yeah, exactly, right? Well, and I know when we're in Vegas at Cirque 30, Cirque 27, we
daylight.
Never went outside.
I don't see daylight.
Yeah, you're inside the whole time. So, yeah.
Well, Laura, thank you so much.
I appreciate
this. And hopefully our paths will continue to cross and then we'll do some more talks.
I hope all your doctors listening show some love to their front office.
I want them to.
Yes, that's awesome.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.